Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Angels. That's our focus this Advent. Angels. They are messengers. They simply do the will of God the Father. They don't act on their own. They follow what God the Father would want them to do. Now, 2 weeks ago, we heard about how an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and helped him in his dilemma. That was God's will to send the angel in that moment. And last week, we heard about how the angel Gabriel approached Mary and moved her from a troubled position to being settled and at peace. That was also God's will. Angels don't act on their own. They simply do what God wants them to do. Tonight, we're taking a look at the encounter between the angels, a heavenly host of angels, as Carol read just a few moments ago, and shepherds in Luke chapter 2. Shepherds. Why are shepherds a part of the Christmas story? Have you ever thought about that? Shepherds, nomadic shepherds, which we think that is what these shepherds were in Luke chapter 2, were thought to be the criminals and thieves in Jesus' day. Many of them chose that profession because they couldn't be tracked down. They could commit a crime and then pick up their belongings quickly and go to the next location. They could plan to take a sheep here, a goat there, and then once they were caught, then they could go on to the next destination. This was their lifestyle. If you were a thief, there's a good chance that being a shepherd was what you were going to sign up to do. Now, we don't know about these shepherds in Luke chapter 2. It doesn't tell us. Are they in the middle of a crime? Are they plotting to do a crime? We really can't tell. But what we can say is that isn't it unusual that a heavenly host appears to shepherds that are just wandering out in the middle of nowhere? What is the significance of this? God wanted the shepherds to know that his salvation for Jesus was for all people. It's actually right there in the text. It's part of the angel's message to the shepherds. What a great message for the shepherds to hear. More specifically for us tonight, I want you to think about this. God's message was that he could restore all people through Jesus. Many of you know about the great masterpiece artwork, The Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci. It's a classic. You probably know quite a bit about this piece of work. Most people do, of course. But have you realized the amount of restoration that has taken place to get that painting to where it is today? That painting has been through a lot of challenge and difficulty. Da Vinci himself didn't pick the greatest paint. In fact, 20 years after it was originally painted, the paint started to flake off. Can you imagine that? Then the location of the painting itself in the city of Milan wasn't in the greatest location. There was high humidity, which helped the painting deteriorate even more. And the painting itself wasn't cared for at all, actually. Throughout the years, it really wasn't taken care of. There was a kitchen nearby, and the steam from that kitchen just went up and deteriorated the painting. It is known that there was a flood that went up about 2 feet in the building, and the Last Supper was covered with a coat of mold for many years. In addition to that, Napoleon's soldiers entered into the convent and actually threw bricks at many of the paintings, including the Last Supper. In addition to that, during World War II, the roof of that building was bombed out, and the painting was subject to the open air above. It's amazing that we actually have that painting today to enjoy, considering all the things that have happened to it throughout the centuries. Why do we have it? How has it been restored? Well, restoration workers went to work. A great restoration work took place from 1977 all the way to 1999, a 23-year project. And those restoration artists used all sorts of tools to bring that painting back to its original form. They used magnifying visors. They used chemicals and paint and just pieces of cloth and paint brushes. And they did everything they could to make the brush strokes just like Leonardo da Vinci did 500 years before. And the thing that drove them to do what they did was nothing more than this. They wanted to get the painting back to the original artist's design. They did a really good job. Not perfect, but they did a really good job. Because just 3 years ago, that painting sold for $450 million. That's incredible. Well, here's the thing. God was communicating in Luke chapter 2 through the angels, through the messengers, and again, they never act on their own. They only do the will of God the Father. They never have free will. They simply do what God tells them to do. God wanted to communicate to these shepherds that Jesus, the great restoration artist, was coming to restore all things. And boy, did he. A man who couldn't speak could speak better than he ever could. A man who couldn't see was given sight to a level that he had never experienced. A person who was deaf allowed to hear at a level that they never had before. A sinner, an outcast, someone who lost their reputation completely restored by Jesus Christ. One who was dead in John chapter 11, Lazarus, was brought forth and completely restored. For shepherds who had lost their reputation, lost their standing in society, perhaps lost their purpose and drive for life. What a powerful message to hear that Jesus, the Savior of the world, the true restoration artist, would return them to the way they should have been. Hallelujah, what a great message this was for these shepherds. But this message was also for you. Jesus is coming to restore you. Sin has marked you. Sin isn't just something to keep track of, like you're keeping, like, as if God is keeping track of a number, 1,535, 5,677. Sin marks us from how we were intended to be. Small sins, a little blemish here, a little blemish there marks us a little bit. Major sins, too, mark us as well. They're almost as if not just little hiccups and not just little missteps, but major sins do cause pain. It's like throwing a bunch of paint on a masterpiece and changing the way that it's supposed to look. That's what sin does to us. And then there's the world. Doesn't it need to be restored as well? It's just not the way that it should be. But this Jesus is coming in just a few days. And he's coming ultimately at the very end. And he has the power to restore you. And he doesn't need tools. Doesn't need a visor. Doesn't need chemicals. Doesn't need paint. Doesn't need any mediums to work his ways. He doesn't need 23 years. One word. One move. One touch. And you're restored. So as we close out our Advent midweek studies, let us be thinking about the approach of the angels, who just simply did God's will. Shouldn't we do what the angels did and celebrate God's glory and give credit to God? Shouldn't we have a little more joy about this message that Jesus is coming? Shouldn't we share with others, as the shepherds did, the great truth that God is giving a true restoration artist for all people? As we take a moment, let's think about that joy that we can share. that credit that we can give to God for giving us Jesus. And let's think of tangible ways that we can point others to Jesus in the days ahead.